Toby is going to come and read the next part of John chapter 2, and then Tim is going to come and teach us. Thank you, Toby.
The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to rebuild it in 3 days." But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person.
That was really well read. Who would like a nice comfy cushion to sit on the front? I'd love some young people to come first. The first people get these. If you don't come first, you only have to sit on the floor. All right. I need this. So you need to be able to see the screen because there's some pictures coming up. All right. Who knows what a temple is? What's a temple? Can tell me? Who can tell me what a temple is?
A tower.
A tower? Not just a tower. What is a temple? Here's a temple. Let's try that one. Okay, there's the word temple. Here we go. Oh, it's not working. I'll just have to use that button. All right, there's one. That's a really old one. Here's one which is a bit Chinese. And here's a really new one. That was in Arizona, that one. That's a temple in Arizona. Temples were the places that people built. And the Jewish people had a huge one. It was in the middle of Jerusalem, and it was very special for them. It was a place they go each year, no matter how far away they lived, they'd go there so that God could forgive them and they could meet God. So to meet God and be forgiven their sins, that's why they went. For those two reasons, to meet God and to be forgiven their sins. And God had told his people to build a temple and to have special people to look after it. Those were the priests. And if you were a Jewish person going to the temple, it was a very big moment. Have you ever been somewhere where your mum and dad said, "Shh, don't talk, don't run, be quiet"? Did you like going to places like that? No. Was it a bit scary? A bit boring. You wanted to run around, but you weren't allowed to. Well, it was a bit like that for the Jews when they went to the temple, but it was worse. Because this was where you were meant to feel close to God himself. And if you were a person like me, a sinner who thinks bad things and does bad things, and you know that God is perfectly good and he knows exactly what you're like, then you feel a bit guilty going to a temple. It's a bit like this. Imagine playing sport and it's a bit muddy. And you have been playing so much sport that you got this muddy. And imagine straight after that, you then had to go to have dinner with this person without getting changed. That's the Queen. So you're a bit muddy and you have to sit next to the Queen, who's all smart in her nice dress and the crown. How would you feel? Embarrassed, sad, a bit dirty. Well, the Jews, when they went to the temple, dressed up as smart as they could, but that didn't stop them feeling dirty on the inside. They felt really awful on the inside. So imagine that's you and them, going to the temple where God is and feeling really dirty. Well, on this day, Jesus turned up at the temple in Jerusalem, only he didn't arrive like everyone else did, all quiet, shh, and respectful. This is what happened when Jesus arrived at the temple. Toby, I'm going to need you sitting behind the money changer's desk. I'm going to read, and then I'm going to explain. In the temple courts, Jesus found people selling cattle and sheep and doves, sitting at tables, exchanging money. So Jesus made a whip out of rope and he drove them all out of the temple. both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. So I thought it'd be good for you to get a feel for a bit of that. Here's a nice table. Here's some lovely animals and some money on the table. And here's Jesus with a whip. Look out.
Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?
Put them down. Oh, no. Run away. Jesus was angry, really angry. He was angry because people had turned his temple where people were made to go to worship God, into a marketplace. Now that's a marketplace. Here's one a bit closer to home. Does anybody recognise where this marketplace is? Not Cambridge. Saffron Walden Marketplace last Saturday. They were selling oranges and melons and peppers. They weren't selling animals. But it's still a marketplace. And money was changing hands. And that's not the sort of thing you do in a temple. So when Jesus saw his father's house being turned into a marketplace, he was really angry. And I think people would have been frightened when he overturned their tables and scattered their money all over the floor. It was a wrong thing, and Jesus was right to be angry and to shout and to wave a whip and to get people out who were not meant to be there doing what they were doing. Here's a marketplace. That marketplace has got chickens and doves in it. That's a bit more like it. But I didn't have any real live ones. I thought about bringing Solo, but I think he wouldn't have liked being turned over like that. So after a bit of chaos and flapping and noise and picking up the coins, there was some peace and quiet. The Jews went up to Jesus and asked him an important question. Who are you? And can you prove that you have the authority to do this in our temple? You see, Jesus was changing something in the temple that had been going on for years, perhaps hundreds of years. And if someone comes along and changes something that everyone's used to, people want to know, how come they can change it? Jesus said something very important. When he said it, people didn't understand it, but years later, they would. Let's see if you can hear what Jesus is saying and you can understand it. This is what he said. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. What did Jesus mean? Well, remember what we said a temple was? Temple was a building. How long do you think it takes to build a temple? Ted? Big one, like that one.
100 years?
That's a bit much. I had a porch on my house, a very little one, and it took 3 months. So if you're going to build one of those, it takes years and years and years. In fact, it says in the Bible, the Jews said to Jesus, it's taken 46 years for us to build this temple, and you can build it in 3 days. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him, and nor would we. But we know something that they didn't. We know something very special happened to Jesus, and it took 3 days. Ooh, can you think? I think James has got it. Something very special happened to Jesus, and it took 3 days. Have a think. So, Alice, do you know? No, you just got your hand up. Something very special to happen to Jesus, and it took 3 days. Look down at verse 21 and 22. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to read it to you. The temple Jesus had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered what he'd said. James, what were you going to say? You were going to say, well, that's what Jesus said. You see, Jesus was killed on the Friday, and then nothing happened on the Saturday. And then what happened on the third day? James, he rose again from the dead. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. You see, Jesus let himself be killed. Do you remember how they destroyed Jesus. How did they do it? On the cross. They killed him. And then they put him in a grave. And he was dead. But 3 days later, Jesus rose again from the dead. The Jews wanted proof, and Jesus was allowed to change everything about the way people meet God and are forgiven their sins. And Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. You see, when Jesus said destroy this temple, he wasn't talking about the building. He wasn't talking about the building. That's a building with a big red line through it. He was talking about himself. Well done. He was talking about himself. So now Jesus has turned over the tables and he's risen from the dead. Where should people go to meet God and to be forgiven their sin? Have a think. All of you think. Do you know? Where should people go now that he's turned over the tables and risen from the dead to meet God and be forgiven their sin? Steve, do you know? Go to heaven? Who do you think, James? Anywhere? Do you think you have to go to a building? No, you don't have to go to a building. You have to go to a person. Jesus is where you go to be forgiven your sins. That's what millions of people have ever done. They know that they are dirty, not just on the outside, but on the inside. Do you know that? They've not told the truth, they've told lies. Put your hands up if you ever told a lie. So you need to be forgiven too. They know that they've not loved other people, they have hated them. Have you ever hated anybody? Put your hand up if you've hated somebody. They know that they've not been kind, they've been cruel. They've not been humble, they've been proud. And worst of all, they've not loved God and they've loved other things more. We're all like that. So what we need more than anything else is we need God to forgive us. We need to go to Jesus to meet God and to be forgiven. Do you want to do that? To meet God and be forgiven? Do you know that you're bad on the inside and you need God to forgive you? Well, you don't need to go to a building anymore. You need to go to Jesus. Now, I did that 30 years ago this month. It was one Sunday after church. I went home from church and I sat down on my bed on my own in my room and I closed my eyes and I said a prayer something like this. No one could see me. I couldn't see Jesus, but he could hear me. He could hear my prayer. I said, dear Jesus, I am sorry for my sin. I'm sorry I've been living in your world my way. I know that makes you angry. I believe you died and rose again, and I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I trust that you've forgiven me, and now I need your help to live your way. Please help me every day. I said, sorry, thank you, and please to God. And that's how I was forgiven. Everybody who becomes a Christian the same way. So now you know how. And if you'd like to do that, I'm sure you could talk to your parents about it afterwards. Let me pray for us as I finish. Thank you, Lord God, for Jesus' anger at the marketplace in the temple. Thank you that he showed that he himself was now the place to meet God and to be forgiven. Please help us to go to him to say sorry, thank you, and please. Amen. Well done. Can you put the cushions back there and then go back to your seats, please? Thank you. Just pile them up really nicely. That's lovely. Well done, young people. That's it. That'll do. Good pile. And I'll take the whip. Best I have that, don't you think? If you think. Questions? Oh, yes, we love that. Last time we did this, some of the children had the best questions. Now, you're allowed to whisper them to your mums and dads to ask for you. But if you'd like to ask a question about anything Jesus did or anything I've said, I'd love to hear them. Has anybody got any questions? Oh, we have got one. Yes, please. We need a microphone. Here it comes. Here.
Even though Jesus is perfect, when he turns over the tables, isn't that a sin?
Okay, I think I heard you. If you know Jesus is perfect, but he turned over the tables, wasn't that not perfect? Is that what you said? Okay, that's a very good question. Is it ever right to be angry? You think it's never right to be angry. Do you think I should be angry if Lucy went off with another man? I think it would be right for me to be angry then. I hope you're all nodding. Sometimes it's right to be angry. What about if a bully took another child's money? Would it be right to be angry then? So there are some times when it was right to be angry. Jesus was right to be angry about what they were doing in the temple. And he showed that anger by turning over the tables that shouldn't have been there and scattering the money they shouldn't have been exchanging. So it was right and perfect for Jesus to be angry then. Is that all right? Good question. Anyone else? Thebes, can we have the microphone to the back?
Do you have to go to the temple to pray to Jesus?
To pray to God?
No.
Not anymore. Do you remember at the end I said I prayed to God when I was in my room with the door closed? Does it matter which room? Do you think you can pray to God in the kitchen as well? Yes. What about the dining room? What about the bathroom? You can pray to God anywhere. And that's because he is God. He can hear all your prayers, all at the same time, perfectly. Even if you only say them in your head, God can hear you praying. So it's a good question. You don't have to go to anywhere special to pray. You could pray absolutely anywhere. Try it. Try praying while riding your bike. In fact, maybe not. While sitting in your room. Anybody else? Yes, James, one from you. Can I pray on the toilet? I didn't mention that, but yes, James, you can. Okay, well, do ask me some more questions afterwards. Well done. Thank you, Kilt Children, very much.